Today's daf in Masechet Menachot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Kuf Beis. And we were really involved in a fascinating whodunit yesterday to try to figure out what was the real shita of Reb Yoshia. But look, we ended up getting into a fascinating question. That was the issue that, according to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, we based all of this, remember, on the din of the Parah Aduma. So Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai said, look, even if you had already shechted the Parah Aduma, it doesn't matter, because since it's a mitzvah to bring the absolute best, and since you always have in mind when you do it that you should be able to be replacing it and sell what you got and replace it with a new one, so the fact is that that Parah Aduma has a din of Eichlin. Because since it was omedly padot until the very last minute when we actually burnt the Parah Aduma, it was considered to have a period in which it was ro'ui to be eaten, and therefore it was a sha'as ha'kosher, and the halacha is that anything that had a sha'at ha'kosher is considered to be ro'i l'kabel tuma at that moment, even if afterwards it's no longer considered to be an ochel. Now, from that, we built a theory yesterday, and we used this the entire time to try to figure out what the din would be in the cases of pigol and lan and so on. We took for granted that if Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai holds that kol ha'omed lipadot is kepadui dami, so then whenever there would be a mitzvah and something is meant to happen, it's omed to happen, then it's as if, since it could have taken place, it's as if it already took place in terms of defining whether something has a din of an eichlin or not. So in the same way it was koveya being an eichlin, it would be koveya whatever other dinim would be derivative of that. So because of that, we ended up needing to explain the cases that we had. Remember where we were talking about pigol. So if there was enough time to have done something properly, then that would have meant if you were mefago, for instance. Let's say you were mefago in the zrika. So then mefago in the zrika left you time to have brought it properly from the Shlita, in which case it was already ro'i to be mekabel tuma, right? That's why the only case that we could come up with where Rabbi Yoshia had said that, well, if it's pigol, then it's not going to be mekabel tuma, is where it never had enough time. And that was the case where you were mefago b'shlita. Or we were talking about the case of the mincha, and he said it's not considered to have a mekabel tuma. Why not? Didn't it have enough time originally? And the only case we came up with was where he had been mekadesh the grain itself while it was still in the ground, and therefore it was never a time when it was ro'i l'kabel tuma. And that's where he meant to say that, according to Rav Shimon bar Yochai, it wouldn't be mekabel tuma. That's what we said yesterday. And we built the entire din around the Parah Aduma. What Rav Shimon bar Yochai had spoken about was about the Parah Aduma. And in all of the cases, we said there wasn't enough time to do Zrika, and so on and so forth. The last thing that we learned was that the only case that we could find where it was not going to be Makabel, the Tuma, was that what Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, what we meant was that if the lina took place before there was even a moment left for us to be zorek the dam, then it's not going to be metamet tumas eichlin. But if there was a moment left after it was possible, let's say there were 10 seconds left that we could have done zrika in the day, then already the lina would be metamet tumas eichlin. That's where we were up to. Now, what that implies is, let's take a look at the very bottom here of yesterday's daf of Kuf Aleph Amud Beis. The case where pigel, if somebody wanted to do pigel, and it was kachir kachim, it was kachir kalim, and there was definitely a mitzvah to be zorek that dam correctly. And at that moment, Iboy zorek, if he wanted to, he certainly could have done it properly. So it was, first of all, a mitzvah, and secondly, there was time. So Isn't that the case that it had a Shas HaKosher? And yet the Braitza says that according to Rabbi Shimon, who is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, you're not going to be Mekabel Tumas Eichlin in that case. Why not? I mean, I'm assuming that you did the Pigel at the time of the Zrika. So why isn't it Mekabel Tumas? So as I mentioned earlier, it would have to be talking about the Pigel B'Shchita. So there was never a moment where it could have been eaten, because before it was shachot, it wasn't food. And by the time it became food and you did the shlita had already passed, and it made it also bana. And therefore, it was considered to be a non-ochren. Okay, but what are you saying? You're saying that in the event that he had been befagel bezrika, so then there would have been that period from the time of Shchita till the Zrika, and at that moment it was Roy Lachila, that then Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai would have held that indeed the din was that it would be Metami Tumas Ochlin. So then why in the world did we make the difference between someone who was Mefagel a Karban Mincha and somebody who was Mefagel the case of the animal? Why make that the difference? You could have had a case in the very same case of the animal. You could have said, if you were a mefagel at the time of Shchita, so then there was never a time that it was roy to be Eichlin, and therefore it's not mekabel tumas Eichlin. But if you waited until the Zrika to be mefagel, then since at the time of the Shchita, which was done properly, it was considered to be an Eichel, so then there's no problem. And it is considered to be an Eichlin, or would be Mekabel Tumah, then make that difference. Say, Lifot Bidida, simply go ahead and say a simple statement. Bamedvarim Amurim, where are we going to say that it doesn't Mekabel Tumas Eichlin? That's only where he was Mefagel in the Shchita, and there never was a moment that it was Roy Lachia. Masha Enke, if he was Mefagel Bezrika, then it would be Metame Tumas Eichlin. Isn't that the right way to say it? Yeah, of course he could have said it that way. But what Rabbi Shimon wanted to do over here was to make a special point about Mincha. Pigel b'mincha etzricha. He wanted to teach me that even though you do the pigel in the Mincha at the moment of Kmitza, right? Remember, the Kmitza of the Mincha is the equivalent of the Shchita by an animal, as we've learned all through this Masechet. And you would have thought that, why, it's the same halacha. Just like if you do pigel in an animal at the time of Shchita, it's not roy lekabel tumah. So too, if you would be mefagel in a mincha at the time of kmitza, which is the same din, you'd think, it would also be not shayach to kabbalas tumah. But I want to point out to you that that's not true about a mincha. Because even though komitz b'mincha is the equivalent of shchita by a behima, afilu achi mitami tumas ochlin, it would still be mitami tumas ochlin, because a mincha was koroi to be eaten. It had a shat hakosher from the time that you picked it off of the ground. So over there, of course, it's not going to impact the fact that it was pigel, because it was already an ochlin from the beginning. That's basically the end of yesterday's sugya. Now, today, we want to actually fight all of the assumptions that we made yesterday and come up with a completely different approach to the very Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai that we had been using. I remember, all of this is basically a tangent to the main issue that we've been discussing. It's all based on the fact that we needed to access that din about the Parah Aduma, and from it, we got into all of the similar cases. The Parah Aduma, it's a mitzvah to bring a better one, and therefore, if it was possible to be paid at it, even if you weren't paid at it, it was considered to be padui. And based on that, we said, let's extend that to a general concept. Wherever it's a mitzvah to do something, and you have it in mind to do it, but you didn't do it, it would be, since it was in your hands to do it, it's enough to consider it done, and it would have implications, lahalacha, because of the possibility and the mitzvah which made it omed for X, whatever that X was. It was omed for pidyon, it was omed for zrika, whatever the case was. So that's what we thought. And therefore, we said, if it was ready to be Zrika, then it was already Ki'ilu at Zoruk. And if the Dam is because, it was considered to already be so on and so forth. This is the way we've understood it until now. Today, Rav Ashi says, I think that it's possible that we're making a fundamental error. Because I said this old, yesterday's daf, I said it over in front of Reb Nachman, and I said to him, or he said to me, it depends, it's different to sell it here, afilu tima lan mamash. I don't think that we have to say that it's talking about that he never could have done the zrika. Even if it did, he had plenty of time. The korban was there waiting for hours, and it was lan. Nobody did the zrika, and it doesn't make any difference. It's still not considered to be a time that shas hakosher, or in the case of pigo. Doesn't have to be the way you learned it, that it was pigo only in the case of shchita, so it never had a moment. Even if you were the fagel and the zrika, and it had lots of time that you could have been able to do it in a way that was kosher, and it's not that you initially always had in mind pigo. That has nothing to do with Rabbi Shimon's din. Because there's a big difference between the case of Rabbi Shimon with the Pora Aduma. What is he saying is as if it's done. He said if it was ome to be poda it, then it's as if you were already poda it, right? That's all he said. You're the one who imagines that that means that if it's ome to do anything, if that particular thing is a mitzvah, it's as if it's done. I mean, that's an awfully big leap, isn't it? To be poda something does not require you to do any kind of new maisa whatsoever. All you have to do is to say, this should be podoy on the money in my drawer. That's all you have to do. There's no act that's necessary. Now, to go from there and to say, that means that if you could have done zrika, it's as if you did zrika. Now, how the heck did an action... It's as if I did zrika. What is that supposed to mean? The question of pigyon is a legal state. It's not a change in action. Is this kachim or is this not kachim? Does it belong to me or does it belong to Hekash? I mean, what does that have to do with an act? Where did Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai ever imagine that if an act could be done, it's as if the act was done? I think that's crazy. Either an act is done or it isn't done. What does this have to do with anything? I think the whole thing is crazy. Afilu tema, it would be literally lan. Plenty of time to have done that zrika, and you never did it. Afilu tema, pigo bezrika. Plenty of time from the shchita to the zrika that you could have done that everything properly, and you didn't. Because all the Rabbi Shimon was saying was, the e-boy parik, if you wanted to, you could have redeemed it. That's all he said. Did he ever say that because if you wanted to, you could be Zorikid, and therefore it's as if you were Zorikid. That doesn't follow. Iboyavi Zorik lo amrinan. No, wait a minute, says the Gemara. Is that really true? Let's take a look in the Mishnah, in Me'ilah. And over there, apparently we do say that even if something is an action, it's as if it were already done. And that is as follows. Klal Amar Rabbi Yoshua. I'm telling you, you would never think that Ori would get bored by Daf Yomi. Look at this. The merry-go-round is more important than Daf Yomi? We're going to have a word. Okay. So here's the klal. Klal Amar Rabbi Yoshua. Kol Shaitala. If it had a Shas Heter Lekoanim. Now, this is similar to the idea that we're talking about something being roi l'achila, right? So he says, if something had a moment in which the kohanim could have been eating it, then it's no longer going to be mechayev you in me'ilah. Why? Remember that me'ilah is stated on kodshei Hashem. Kodshei Hashem means it's miyuchad l'Hashem. The moment that you've already brought the korban to a place where it's no longer miyuchad l'Hashem, because the Kohanim could be eating it, at that point, there's no longer any me'ilah, because it's not included in the halachas of kodshei Hashem, and therefore, even if it just had a moment where it was kosher for Kohanim, ein mo'alin ba, there's no longer any me'ilah. But if it never had a moment like that, Koshaloi Talashaata Koshalakani Pshatetalakani, so then Malimba. And what do I mean? Ezohi Shaitala Shatetalakani. What would be a case of a Shaseta? Well, let's say it was a carbon that you let it lun, you let it stay overnight. Or maybe it became tummy, couldn't have been put on the Mizbeah. And maybe it was Yotze. And all of those things had a Sha'at Heter L'Kohanim because basically it would be possible to have done the Zrika before. Now we're going to see what we're talking about. Did I already do the Zrika or didn't I? We'll get to that in a moment. And what do I mean when I say there never was a moment that it was Roy L'Kohanim? That would be a case where the Shechita was done already with a machsheves chutz lezmano, chutz lemekomo, where I was mekabel the dam, bepsul, either psulim or mekabel the dam, or the zrika which took place by psulim. Anyway, but let's get to my point. My point is, it says over here that shalana v'shenitmet v'sheyatza. Now, this carbon was left overnight. I'm assuming that that means literally, my love, lana mamash. It really, the whole thing was left overnight. So the bus was left overnight. The dam was left overnight, which means that theoretically, if I had wanted to, I could have done the Zrika, right? The Ahocha, the Iboy Avizorik, right? I could have done the Zrika. And the Mishnah says that you're not mailing. Why not? Because since I could have done the Zrika, it's considered to be as if it had a Shas Heter L'Kohani. Now you said, you said that if it's an act, the fact that it could be done doesn't make an act been done. And here the Mishnah says that vis-a-vis the Dina Me'ila, it absolutely does just that, okay? And that's the opposite of what Ravashi was telling to Rav Nachman, or Rav Nachman was telling to Ravashi. And apparently, even if it's an act, excuse me, who says that we're talking about where the whole thing was run overnight? Maybe it's talking about in a case only where it was the ru'uya latzeit, or it was ru'uya li tame. After, that's all that it means. It means it stayed, it was lun afterwards, and it was therefore a moment that it was roy at that moment, before it was yotze, before it was nitma, and there was a moment that it was kosher for the kohanim, and then afterwards it became posel. So at that point, it was certainly really mutter l'kohanim. So what are you saying? That if it was literally lan mamash, you're telling me, and there was no moment where it was ever zoruk before becoming lino, that then what would be the din? You're telling me that in that case, there would have been still me'ila on it, right? Now here is a very subtle diuk in language. Because if that's the case, if you're claiming that you actually would be chayev in Me'ila, even though there was a time where you could have been Zorikit, but you weren't Zorikit, so then explain the language to me. You're saying, the fact that it might have been Zoruk does not establish its having a Shas HaKosher, a Shas Heter L'Kohanim, right? Then why is the wording, quote, Kol shahayta sha'at heter l'kohanim, or kol shaloyta l'shat heter l'kohanim. That's not the way to say it. It's nothing to do with sha'at heter. It's that had a sha'at heter. It's not that it had a sha'at heter. What you need to be talking about is whether it has a sha'at heter. Kol shiyesh la sha'at heter l'kohanim ein mo'alim bo, or Kol she'ein la shat heter l'kohanim mo'alim bo. That's what you'd have to use, because you're talking basically in the present tense. Why are you talking about in the past tense? If you're talking about a case that it really was mutter l'kohanim, so then that's what we say, that it has a shas heter l'kohanim. It has nothing to do with the past. You see, if what you're focusing on is what might have taken place in the past, and it never really happened. So then you say, since it's Shahaita at that point, the possibility, that I can call something that happened in the past. But if it actually happened, then the time is not a question. It's nothing to do with past, present, or future. It just is that way, right? Why would I say if it had a moment? That's not the point that it had a moment. It really was Mutter L'Kayanim. Who talks in that way? If it had a Shaset L'Kayanim. Did it become Mutter L'Kayanim or not? Yes, so say, anything that became Mutter L'Kayanim is not a topic for Me'ila. That's all. What's this business of Shahaita? So obviously, if we're refusing to use the present tense at all, then we're talking about the theory. So the case in the Mishnah you can analyze just from the language is talking about where it never really had the Heter L'Kayanim, in which case we would have used the present tense, but it was a possibility at some point in the past, which is why we use the past tense. And therefore, you cannot say what Rav Ashi was saying, that, well, you never say whatever is Eime to be Zorok is as if it was Zorok. The Mishnah is saying exactly that. If it was Eime to be Zorok, it's as if it was Zorok. So that shows you that Rav Ashi is wrong. And actually, when we were making a distinction between being poda something, which is just a state, versus actually doing something like zrika, which is an action, that's not true. Over here, the Mishnah apparently learns that those two are essentially the same. So what's Rav Ashi's response to that? His response is, okay, I'm ready to agree that that's true, but only when it comes to Me'ila, not when it comes to the sugya we're dealing with. The sugya we're dealing with is whether something is considered to be an oichlin and to be a mekabel tumas oichlin. I say there's a big difference. Ela Amar Rav Ashi, I'll tell you that this entire point is completely irrelevant because you're asking me a question from the dinim of Me'ila on the dinim of tumas oichlin, right? And you want to prove to me that I'm wrong. Me'ila atuma karamita? Why do you think there's any connection between the dinim of Me'ilim and the dinim of tuma? You'll notice that we're still going deeper and deeper into that incredible game that we were playing yesterday of getting into all of the possible ramifications, how on every level we have further bifurcations. It's incredible. No matter how deep we dig, we end up finding a way to bifurcate further. I mean, this is absolutely astonishing. It's it's mind-boggling. Just when you thought it was safe to go outside, we come up with another question that is mechayev us to look even further into it. It just doesn't seem to stop. This is crazy. It really is an experience. So, Taina's Rav Ashi. Now, hold on a minute. Let's re-examine our assumptions. You're asking me a question from Me'ila on a question of Tuma, right? So Me'ila is a function of Kodesh and not Kodesh, correct? That's the whole point. If it's Kodesh, so then it's not going to, you're going to be Chay Me'ila. And if it's not Kodesh Lashem completely, then you're not going to. So Me'ila is completely a function Mishum Kedusha, yes, or Lav Kedusha, no. So it's a binary issue. And basically, if there was any moment in which it loses its Kedusha, what can bring it back again? Can anything bring it back? No, there would need to be a whole new way of being Magdashit. Nobody was re-Magdashit. So basically, it's not going, B'mai Hadra Rachfala, it's never going to come back. And therefore, the point is that when something is no longer completely miyuchad l'Hashem, so let me ask you, just be honest, if this kind of thing could be eaten by Kayanim, if all I have to do is to be Zarek the Da, is that called miyuchad l'Hashem? No, because it's in my hand to simply go and to take it. I have to do an action, so I'll do the action. But if something is miyuchad l'Hashem, then that means exactly what it says. Kache Hashem, stay away. You can't touch this. You can't use that. Is this the case? No. I can take it as soon as I want to take it. Sukkot Hashem. So over there, the possibility of the act, it's not because the possibility of the act makes the act happen, for God's sake. That's not the issue. The issue is the definition of Kodesh Hashem. The possibility of the act means, okay, so it's no longer so sacrosanct, is it? No. Walk in, do the zrika, and go and eat it. So how could that be called Kodesh Hashem? That makes sense. Once it's no longer in that state, so you're telling me, oh, but now it's too late. You can no longer do the zrika. So what? So what? So it's too late. Does that mean it's re-kodesh? No, it's not re-kodesh. It's a new iser. But the fact is, it's already left the sacrosanct position of being Kodesh Hashem. So it's very straightforward. When you're talking about Eichlin, now, what does this have to do with Eichlin? Tuma is a function of being food. If it is food, it's Mekabel Tuma. If it's not food, it's not Mekabel Tuma. If something happens to something that was food and takes away its din of food, is it Mekabel Tuma if it's no longer Royal Achila? No, it's not. So what I understand, if Tuma is a function of being food or not being a food, so Tuma is simply either it's Uchla or Lav Uchla. That's what it's dependent on. So Hecha di Izorikla Mashvile Uchla Metame Tuma Sechlin. If it was a food, then it is Mekabel Tuma. If it never became a food, I don't care about the fact that theoretically it's possible to make it food. How does food depend on theoreticals? You can't eat the theory. You can only eat the meat. Masha Enke, when it comes to Mehila, it depends entirely on the theory, because the theory defines how holy is this. So therefore, look, either it is Ochlin, and Hecha de E is Lozor, you didn't do the Zrika, then it wasn't Ochlin. If it isn't Ochlin, it's not going to be Metami Tumas Ochlin. So I don't understand what we're comparing two things that have nothing to do with each other, so don't ask me any questions from that. Now let's dig a little deeper. Is that a valid distinction? So now we've gotten into Me'ila. I want to know whether it's true that it's all such a binary issue, because if you take a look at the Mishnah in Kritot, okay, so here we've got a totally new question. What's our totally new question for the next stage? Somebody's bringing an Ashem Tolui. So remember, an Ashem Tolui is brought where you are not sure whether you were over an Isser that is an Isser Koras or not. If you find out that you actually were over this Isser, so then you're going to have to bring the normal kapara for that Isser that was done b'shogeg. You know, so let's say we weren't sure. We had two pieces of meat. One of them was a piece of chalev, which is chayev kores. One of them was a perfectly kosher piece of fat. You didn't know which one you ate. So somebody brings an Ashem Tolui. And then, as he's bringing his Ashem Tolui, he finds out that there are witnesses that know that the piece of fat that he ate was kosher, completely kosher, and he never needed to bring this korban Ashem Tolui. So if he found that out before he even did the shechita on the Ashem Tolui, imachelo nishrat nodalo, so then that Ashem is like just a mistake. It's a regular chulin animal. You don't have to be poda it. Just let it go out into the street, and it can be like any other chulin animal. Yitzei v'yir eba eder divrei Rabbi Meir. Because the Ashem Tolui is actually only brought where you have that suffix. If you don't have the suffix, the whole thing was a mistake, and therefore it was never in the first place an Ashem Tolui. So let it go. But the Chachamim say, no, it's like any other korban which became unusable for some reason. And what's the din of an Ashem that was not usable? Let's say, you know, the owner had gotten a kapara from somewhere else, or any of the chamish chataot hametot when it comes to an Ashem, then in his year eh. So what's year eh? You let it go out into the field, let it grow around until it bumps into something and hurts itself on this fence, and then it'll get a mum, And then you can sell it, and the money that you get from it is used for the Kayetz HaMizbeach, and you put it into the Pushka, which was known as the Shofar. Now, this next shita is one of Richie's favorite shitas, where Rabbi Eliezer says, no, you know what? You should just go ahead and be makriv this Ashim Toloi, even though you didn't owe the Ashim Toloi. You know why? Because you're bringing an Ashim Toloi only because you're feeling guilty. Well, if you don't have to feel guilty about this, there's always something else to feel guilty about, and therefore you might as well bring the Ashim Toloi for something else. Now, this fits Richie's entire approach. There's always something that you must have done wrong, and because of that, you could bring an Ashim Toloi every day, which in fact is Rebbe Eliezer Shita. And therefore, why let it go? If it ain't good for this, it's sure good for something else. So according to him, whenever you made something in Ashim Toloi, you always had in mind, look, let it be for something or other, you know? It can only help. It sure can't hurt. So with that approach, there's no problem. Okay, so far, this does not cross into our interests. Now, how about if you found out that it was not a chet only after you did the shechita? Well, you can't bring the dam, can you? Because it's no longer an Ashim Toloi. You're not chayiv that Ashim Toloi. Therefore, hadam yishafech, you pour the dam out into the ama that goes through the azara, and the basar should be burned because it turns out it was chulin shenishchata ba'azara. It never was an Ashim Toloi. How about if you found out only after nizrak hadam? So then the kohanim can eat the basar because you already, at the time that you did the zrikas hadam, you didn't know, and therefore it was a regular Ashim Toloi. And Ashim Toloi, it's the Zrikas HaDam that does the Kapara. That's the important moment. So if the dam was Nizrak, then the meat should be eaten. Now here is the deal that gets into our world. Rabbi Yossi says, even if the dam is in the kos and wasn't yet Zoruk, you can now do the Zrika and let the Kohanim eat it. So once it was in the kos, and it's roi for Zrika, then it's already considered to be a kosher karban. And as Rava explained, how is that? Because Rabbi Yossi is following the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Shimon said, Kol ha'omed lizrok kizaruk tami. Uh-oh. So here we find that according to Rabbi Shimon, the situation of the Parah Aduma, which was Kol ha'omed lipadot, is exactly the same as the situation here, where the dam is in the kos, and it's Kol ha'roi lizrok. Ha-ha! So you see from there that even though it's an act, it works to make something mamish roi lachila. In this case, the meat of the Ashim Toloi becomes a food for the Kohanim because it was roi to do an act. Now, this handles everything that we were talking about. It relates to food stuff, and it relates to action, and it basically dumps Rav Ashi's Svara completely, and it's Rav Yossi who's saying that actually, Reb Shimon bar Yochai doesn't believe all of these fancy modern ideas of there being a difference between Me'ila and Eichlin, or being a difference between the status of the monetary position and an actual action. Those are very smart. Go to Brisk Yeshiva, but don't bring it into my Gemara. This is what Rav Yossi seems to be saying to Rav Ashi, and Rav Ashi seems to be in trouble. Does Rav Ashi have a way out? Oh, yes, he does. Says Rav Ashi, excusez-moi, mine hu taima? Hold on a second. I love the way everybody is jumping to Rava's baton, you know. So Rava's telling us, I know what Rabbi Yossi's svara is. Rabbi Yossi is going like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, which proves that Rav Ashi is all wrong. Hold on a second. Good old Rav Ashi. I've got an alternative to Rava's explanation. I don't think that's what Rabbi Yossi is talking about. Excuse me. You know why the real reason is? that Rabbi Yossi says we should be Zorek the Dam? It has nothing to do with Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Ha! In Eretz Yisrael, they know what the real Svara is. Amrei b'ma'arava, Rishmeid Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. You know why Rabbi Yossi says to be Zorek the Dam and let the Kohanim eat? Hainu taimed Rabbi Yossi, dekasavar klishores mekachin es apsulin lechatchila likorev, a totally out of left field halacha. He holds that in the same way that the Mizbeach is Mekadesh as Haroila, even though it's possible, right? So we say, Imala lo yerein. Same thing is true of the Klishores. If the Klishores has Dam in it, and that Dam was no longer Ro'ui to be brought because it turned out the guy never did the hate that he's bringing it on, doesn't matter, because once it's in the Klishores, it's not taken out of the Klishores. It's now Roy to do Zrika. So even though before I had a chance to do the Zrika, I found out that I never did the Avera, but it's already in the coast. Once it's in the coast, not because Kala Omet Lizrok is Zorok Dami, there's nothing to do with that. It's because of the fact that a Klishores was Makadashit, even though it wasn't Roy. So, a completely different version of reality in which everything that we thought is substituted by a completely different reason by Rav Ashi. Great. Okay, so now let me just go back to the idea. Because Rav Kahana, and we had raised the issue before about maybe it looks like, we thought it looked like, before we had an answer to our question, I mean, it looked like when we brought that Mishnah in Krisos, it looked like it was Rabbi Yossi going like Rabbi Shimon, and that seemed to blow Rav Ashi out of the water until we had this alternative explanation. So what Rav Ashi said at that point to Rav Kahana was, okay, if you really believe this, and that Rabbi Shimon is saying that Kola Omed Lizrok is as if it's Gezoruk Dami, then he ends up with a fascinating contradiction that is built into his position. Because look, he's saying that since it theoretically could have been Padui, so because of that, it's as if it was Padui and it's a food, right? Okay, tell me something. What is supposed to be the din of this Parah Aduma? What's supposed to be the din of Nosar? That was the other thing that he spoke about. Both Nosar and a Parah Aduma that he claims had a din of Eichlin at that point, and therefore they're considered to be Shas Heter, or Shas HaKosher. And they're Mekabel Tumas Eichlin. I got a problem for you, because both the Nosar and the Parah Aduma were meant to be burned. Burn, baby, burn. Now the problem is that if it's Kol HaOmed, so then Kol HaOmed Lisrov, and that's the mitzvah of it, Kol HaOmed Lisrov should be Kesorov Dami. But food that's burned is not food. And therefore, you're saying, ah, but this could have been eaten. Yes, but it should have been burned. So if it should have been burned, how could it be a food? Then it's not Mekabel Tumas Eichlin, because Kol HaOmed Lisrov Kesorov Dami. You see? So no matter how you look at it, he's backed himself into a corner, this Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai has. I'd like to see him get out of that one. So, Memanevshach, if you hold Kol HaOmed LaEx is Ke'ex Dami, then it works in both directions. And the Notar and the Parah, therefore, why would they meet me to Mes Eichlin? I don't see food. I see ashes. And Afra Be'alma is not Mekabel Tuma. Ha ha. So, I caught him in a contradiction. So Rav Kahana said, no, you forgot a little deal over here. And that deal is, let me ask you something. Is Levona Mekabel Tuma? Yes, we had that yesterday. Are Eitzim Mekabel Tuma, even though they're not a Kli? Yes. And why is that? We had that yesterday too. That's because of our Gavi idea who's hiding behind that big G, which is that there is a concept called Chibas HaKedash, gives it the Chashivas of Eichlin, and therefore it's going to be Mekabel Tumas Eichlin. Same thing is true of these ashes. They may not look like food to you, but because of the fact that they have the chavivas of Chibas HaKodesh, it makes them roy to be mekabel tuma, even though they're not mitzad hadin, is not really something that ought to be able to be mekabel tuma. Omar Ravila Ravashi. Well, let's dig deeper. Is Chibas HaKodesh, in fact, something that is going to affect ashes in the same way that it's going to affect the concept over here of Tumas Erchlin? You're saying it's Mekabel Tumas Erchlin. I want to point out that when you say something is Mekabel Tumas Erchlin, it means that if Mashkim will touch this Erchlin, they're going to be Mekabel Tuma, right? Because it doesn't mean that it itself is Tame. It means that it itself is able to be Metame. Now, can Chibas HaKodesh do that? Chibas HaKodesh, think about it, the theory of it. Chibas HaKodesh gives a chashivas to the item. So now the item can be nifsal as if it became tame. But can it, as an item that was chashiv, can it give off tuma to other things, or is that irrelevant to the Chibas HaKodesh? The Chibas HaKodesh is only defining the status of the thing which is Kodesh. But it's not going to turn it into a standard type of tuma that's going to be metame other things which are not Kodesh. Therefore, you're making an unwarranted leap over here by claiming that when Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is talking about the Kabbalah's Tumas Eichlin, it's sufficient to say that Chibas HaKodesh will give it that Tumas Eichlin, because who's to say that Chibas HaKodesh actually is a normal tuma and not just a description of how the dispensation of the item is, you see? And we do not have a definitive solution to that. That was a question that was raised long ago by Reish Lakish. Nobody's been able to bring a full riot to that. And what you're doing is you're assuming a solution to Reish Lakish. Because Nihi, says Ravina, Nihi demahani lu chibas hakodesh, leiv sula de gufe. I understand that something that is not a foodstuff can become itself tummy for passing itself. But would we actually call it Tame, Betumas Eichlin? And that means that it would be able to be Metame, Risha, and Shani, and so on, like anything else. Mima Hanyelo? Does Chibas HaKodesh do that too? I mean, if you are sure that it does, so then Tivshotaboy Reish Lakish. This was a famous question of Reish Lakish. I never found anybody saying that they have a clear indication what the din is. Reish Lakish wanted to know if you've got a tsarit shalminachot, you've got a hard piece of a mincha that wasn't mixed properly with the oil that was in it, and therefore it's dry, right? And it was never, because of that, it was never roy lekabel tuma, because it was never mukshel lekabel tuma. It was only mekabel tuma. Why? Because it's kodesh, and chibas hakodesh is the equivalent of heksha. But that piece, is it also tame the same way other things are tame? Monim bo rishon v'sheni? Oh, ain't monim bo rishon v'sheni. Is it really standard tumas ochlin? Or is it actually just a din in and of itself? That's the question. So, difficult to believe that you're ready to stand up against Reish Lakish. And if you are, I want to get out of the way. Yeah, yeah, says Ravashi, but still, it's not really Nogia. Reish Lakish was only asking whether it's called Midiraisa. Is it considered to be a Tumas Eichlin? And when we said that Noser and Pora Aduma are Metame Tumas Eichlin, we only meant it in terms of Midrabanan. Reish Lakish was agreed that, of course, Midrabanan, we don't start making differences that normal people are not going to understand what the difference is. It's Tame, but it's not Tame to make a Risha Mishani. I mean, who's going to understand that? So Midrabanan, we just said, it's Tame Tumas Eichlin. But Enochinami, the question of Chibas HaKodesh in terms of the Dioraisa, that is a question that stands. Remember the Diraisa we learned out from the Pasuk Vihabasar. What's the Vihabasar? To tell me that even things that are not really basar, but have the same chashivas as the basar vis-a-vis the Kedusha, such as the Eitzim and Levena, are Mikabel Tuma. And this brings us, this was the entire last issue of the Tzarid Shabanachais, was, of course, very close to Richie's heart, because sometimes the milk doesn't mix with the porridge properly, and you end up with a Tzarid Shabanachais in the middle of the oatmeal. It's been close to Richie's heart. Does that have a din of Eichlin? Does it have a din only of Chibas HaKedesh, and therefore only if it's on the very high Madrega that makes it roy for bringing to a Richie, that it would be considered to be a Mincha? And now this sugya has got him really chopping. So go for it, Sir Richard. What's that?
Am I going to have to burn it, Rabbi?
No, no, we paskid that you're, once it's in the coast, you can eat it by the Richie. Go ahead.
Zook the Helek Mitzvah.
Now we've got an entirely new issue on our hands. And that is the matchup between what you said you're going to bring and what you actually did bring. So, I mean, we know we've got karbonis, and there are all kinds of different karbonis, and you can bring any of those karbonis. But if you made a neder to bring a particular type of karbon, then how definitive is that neder? So if I make a neder to bring a karbon mincha machavat, and I bring instead a karbon mincha marcheshet, it's clear that I wasn't yotze by neder, I would think, because I didn't do what I said I was going to do. However, that doesn't have any impact on the actual karbon, does it? I mean, this is not the karbon I said I would bring. Okay. So it's a different karbon. I mean, is it possible? Because it's not the karbon you said you would bring. Or if I actually bring a wrong karbon as my karbon, that's different. I said I'm going to bring a minchas marcheshet, and I bring a minchas machavat, and I say, here is my minchas marcheshet. Now that may be the machlokas that we had back in the beginning on the very first daf between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim. Is that considered to be a shelo lishma? And is it considered to be a completely different carbon? And therefore, this is not the carbon that the Torah gave at all. So according to Rabbi Shimon, well, anybody can see that it's only his words, but that in reality, it is what it is. But there might be a difference in terms of the actual din of the carbon itself. And I've got another question. Suppose I don't change the type of carbon. Suppose I change the way in which I'm going to bring this carbon. So suppose I say, I'm going to bring a big mincha of two esronot instead of one esron. And remember, I can bring any mincha that I want, like up to 60 esronot in a kli, remember? Up to the point of kolaroi labila, ein bila ma'akevet bo. So what about if you brought it differently than you said you would? You said you're going to bring two, and you ended up bringing one or more. So is that definitive of the carbon, and it's actually possible because it's got the wrong kmitza, and there was no such carbon? What's the din? So our Mishnah goes through these type of changes in the carbon and changes in the din of whether you're yotze the neder, and separates between the two. So somebody says, I'm a chayiv myself to bring a mincha in a marchavat. And instead, he brings it in a marcheshet. Or he says, I am neider. To bring a mincha in a marcheshet, then he brings it in a marchavat. So that's a different carbon. But mashe vi, what it is that he brought, but he wasn't yotze his neder because he didn't do a neder is to do what you mean to do. And he didn't do what he said he was going to do. And therefore, he would not be yotze the neder. That's quite clear. Now, what makes this complicated is if you take a look in your Rashi, look at the Rashi right there. Mashe vihevi. Why is it a good neder? Because the emer lola shem nidro heviyah. That's because I can assume that this is not the korban that he said it was going to bring. This is a different korban. But if he actually intended that korban to be the korban that he said, Rashi seems to be saying clearly that he would not be yotze, and that it wouldn't, not only that he would not be yotze, but it would not be a kosher korban, because he was mishana the korban from what it is, and therefore it would be puzzle, because he didn't bring the korban according to the dinim of the korban. And if you bring a korban wrong, and you treat it to the wrong type of zrika, the wrong type of kmitza, the wrong whatever it is, it's not a kosher korban. So if you intended it, beferish, this is the minchas b'chavat, and it's not, then it wouldn't be kosher. That's what Rashi seems to be saying, correct? Okay. So let's continue on and see the other type of shinuyim that he might have made. How about if he said, I'm taking this flower and I'm bringing it as a solet to be in a machavat. And then he brought that solet in a markesha. Or he brought that solet. He said, I'm going to bring it in markesha. And he brought in a machavat. Then, for sure, it's psua. Because you can't change your mind and make something that is kaddish for one thing, kaddish and another thing. And therefore, you did the wrong avodah to this. And it would be psua because it was in the wrong kli. How about if he says, I take upon myself a neder, alai, remember the lashon of alai means al ketafai, it's on my shoulders, I take it upon myself. So I take it upon myself to bring shnei esronot, so I'm going to bring a big mincha in one kli. And instead, I separate this mincha and I bring it in two separate kelim. Or I say, I am going to bring two esronot in two separate kelim, and instead I bring it bikli echad. So then again, the korban is a kosher korban, because you can bring a mincha any way you want. You can bring as small as one esron and as large as 60 esronot. But you were not yotze your chovah, because you didn't do what you said you were going to do. But here too, if you said, Elu b'kli echad, see these two esronot? They are going to bring these two esronot in one kli. And instead you bring it b'shnei kelim. Or, see these two esronot? I'm going to bring these as two separate menachos and two separate kelim. And instead you bring them b'kli echad, then it's definitely psulim. Why? Because if you brought it, you said that you're going to bring it in one kli, you bring it in two, then you ended up bringing two kometzim, and you're only supposed to bring one kometz. And therefore, since you cannot be yotze a kometz of one, each one is going to be chaser, because you took off a kometz that wasn't supposed to be brought. And if you said you're going to bring it in two, and you bring it in one, so then you didn't bring the proper kmitza. You took off one kometz for the amount that was supposed to be two kometzim, and you've actually wrecked the mincha because it was a chaser, or it was yeter. So therefore, it's not going to be a kosher mincha. But actually, it depends on your commitment to do it, whether this was what you thought you were bringing is what you thought you were supposed to be bringing, and it was just an accident, or you were actually changing it. And we're going to see in the Gemara why that's important. So therefore, in order to make this clear, the Mishnah extends the case and tells us a little bit of background so that we can understand that your intention is central. Let's take the case that we had before. You said, Harei alai shnei esronot lavi bikli echad. You then come along, you walk into the Beis HaMikdash, and you're bringing these two esronot in two separate kelim. And there were people that were there and said, hey, buddy, didn't you just say you're going to be bringing a mincha in one kli? Amrulo bikli echad nadarta. And he says, the heck with you guys. He goes right ahead and he's makriv them in two kelim. Then they would be pasul. If he changes his mind and he listens to them, and he takes them out of the wrong kalim and puts them into a kli echad, then it would be kosher. So what does this mean? It means that even though we're going to see in the Gemara that once you put the mincha into the wrong kli, that passes it. You can't change it by putting it into the right kli. But if you only put it into the wrong kli with a mistake, and as soon as somebody told you, hey, that's not the right kli, oh my gosh, and you take it and you put it into the right kli, so then that means you had put it in bekodesh, and you made it beta'ut. And therefore, a kiddushas kli beta'ut is not mekadesh the mincha. So that's what the Mishnah wants to bring out by telling us the little story about what his friend said to him. And the same thing is true in the inverse. If he said, here are two esronot that need to be brought in two kalim, and instead he walks in and he brings it to kli echad, which the moment he put it into kli echad, if he does that purposefully, it would passel it because it's the kedushas kli in the wrong kli, just like the mincha machavat and the marcheshet, it's the wrong kli that already passels it. So if people say to him, hey, didn't we just hear you say you're going to bring it in two kalim? So if he does that and he puts it into two kalim, then it would be kosher because he obviously had made a mistake. But if he continues, this is a little bit of a problem because it's mashmah that he puts them into one when it's already in one. But what it must mean, l'chora, is that he continues to maintain it in one. Then it has a din of netina b'kli echad. And then it's the same as having two separate menachot. If they fell into one kli, you cannot take the kemetz. Remember, we had that case before, because you would be taking the komets from the wrong mincha on the wrong mincha, and therefore neither of those kibbutzim would be kosher. The only time they would be kosher is, remember, if it fell into two separate places, where there was a place where it was clearly this was the flower of that mincha, this was the flower of the other mincha, and you were able to separately take the kmitza from each one without damaging the other, making one of them chosek. Okay. So we've got two examples over here. One in which the kli is different because it's a different type of kli, and one in which the kli is different because it's a different way of a single kli or double kli, and it's nothing to do with the type of carbon, but it has to do with the type of netter. So why do I need to have both of those cases if the essential din is that putting something into the wrong kli, whether it's the wrong type or the wrong number, is automatically going to passel it if it were done on purpose, then couldn't I have used either the case of the machavat, the marcheshet case, or as a stand-in for both cases, or the other case of one kli for two kli as a stand-in for machavat and marcheshet? It's essentially the same din, isn't it? No, says the Gemara, it's not. Because stricha, the yashmin al-achkamaita, if, look, I only knew where you switch machavat to marcheshet or marcheshet to machavat, so I might have thought, hava mina, that that's bishum, the omar machavat v'kamaita b'marcheshet. That's because it's a completely different kli, and therefore it's a totally different mincha. And therefore, obviously, you were not mekayin your neder, aval halcha. What you're talking about, it's just a question of how many kli, where both of them are a machabat, or both of them are marcheshet. So the type of mincha is fine. So I would think, look, you cannot, because you make a neder, you cannot really define the number of kalim as if that's going to be meaningful. Maybe you were even yotze your neder because at least you brought the essential carbon you were going to bring, and that's what is relevant. In which case, I would think maybe you were even mekayim the neder. Ema yedei nidra nami yotze. And if I would have known only the second case, so then I would have thought, okay, that is possible, because of the fact that the kapoliglu, since you brought it into different ways, you're destroying the kmitza. But in the first case, you're just making it in a different kli, but you didn't do anything in the actual act of the mincha that would hurt it. So also the low poliglu, it's the same size that it was meant to be, so maybe it's not so important. If, as long as it's a fried mincha, doesn't matter if it's deep fried or it's not deep fried. Therefore, tzricha, I need both of these cases.
The next thing that the Mishnah said was that if the person said this particular flour has to be brought in a machavat and he put it into a marcheshet or the other way around, then it's a problem. Then it's actually pasul. And the question is, why is it pasul? Just for putting it in to the wrong, I mean, what's the difference what kind of kli it is? It's kli sharis. Take it out of that kli sharis, put it into another kli sharis. And in fact, it says that in the Babraita, Vatanya. Lo kichum kli sharet. In a case where you put the wrong thing in the wrong kli, a kli sharis is only mekadesh, that which is roi for that kli sharis. And if this is the wrong thing to be in the machavat wasn't mekadesh it. So just take it out of the marcheshet and put it into the machavat. Or vice versa. Why does the Mishnah say it becomes pasul? Just flip it. Amar Abaye, this is our often answer to these problems, which is that when we say lo kichum, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're not going to be pasul. It's lo kichum li karev. They're not kadosh in order to be able to be put onto the mizbeach. But that doesn't mean that they aren't kadosh enough to be pasul. As we know, it's a lot easier to get screwed up than to get things right. So therefore, what it did was it gave it enough kedusha to ruin it in the sense that you can't simply put it into another kli. But it's not right to be karev, and therefore it's now permanently puzzled because there's nothing to do about it. V'yomer Abaye, lo shanu, when did the Mishnah say that if you put it into the wrong kli, that it became puzzled? That's dafka, where you had said what type of kli it's going to be at the time that you made the neder. So in other words, you said, this flower, we're talking about zo. You said, this flower is hereby kavua to be a minchas machavah. So this flower I'm going to bring as a minchas marcheshet. Then it's considered to actually be meaningfully set aside for that purpose. But if at the time of the neder you simply said, harai alai mincha, or in the case of zo, solet zo le mincha, you didn't say what type. And then you said, I want this to be a machavat, and you put it into a machavat. Then there's not going to be a problem. Why? Because the whole basis of the commitment to be precisely as the neder is the motzei sifatecha tishmor ve'asita kasher nadarta. Do the way that you made the neder, not kasher ifrashta. So the fact that at the time of the neder, you simply were mechayev this service to be a mincha. If afterwards you were koveyed as anything you want, those words don't have any meaning. Only the neder itself has the meaning. And therefore, the itmanami, we find the same mimer that Abaye just said, was also said by Rav Acha Bar Chanina in the name of Rav Asi, and ultimately this was on Rav Yochanan's authority, that our Mishnah that said that once you're koveya solet to be machavata marcheshet, it becomes possible if it goes into an alternative kli, that's only shikiva'an b'sha'at ha'neder, al b'sha'at ha'frasha lo. Why? Kasher nadarta v'lo kasher hifrashta. So b'feresh, that indeed is the halacha.